All right, here he is, Congressman Maverick. I mean, Kinzinger is on the phone with us. Talk to me, Goose.
Better than Goose, man. Goose dies.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's better. Maverick's better than Goose. Right?
What? He dies?
Yeah. No, spoiler alert.
Oh, no, shocking.
Spoiler alert.
A 20-year-old movie?
Right.
I think it's got to be 20.
Yeah, it's close to 30, I think,
30.
Now. Yeah. Hey.
Yeah, it is.
Let's talk about things that are going on in Washington in your fair little world right now. First of all, across the board, Donald Trump's getting incredible praise for General McMaster being his new national security advisor. Your thought?
Yeah, great. I was always worried about General Flynn. I said it on the show. I said, you know, there were some questionable ties to Russia, paid by RT, sitting next to Putin. And so that was always a concern, and then obviously he was caught up in that. And this guy is great. I don't know him personally. I know of him. He basically led the Battle of 73 Easting, which was the largest tank battle since World War II that occurred in the Persian Gulf War I. And it was basically an outnumbered force, and we crushed him. It was a big win.
The U.S. was outnumbered in that, as they were rolling up through central Iraq, right? And there was just all this other stuff around them. And his tactics that he used, I was reading about this today. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. He used tactics that were based on, he was a West Point graduate, and he also taught at West Point. As a matter of fact, he taught that battle at West Point after the Persian Gulf War. And the stuff that he basically did a flanking thing, it was a brilliant kind of thing. Now that's great. I mean, he's an heroic figure. He's beloved by the troops. But I think the most important thing here is we're being told about him is that he's a guy that doesn't put up with a lot of stuff, right?
That's right. And I think this is the biggest point. You know, he wrote that book, which I haven't read. It was Dereliction of Duty. And he basically was calling out military leaders for not challenging civilian leadership in Vietnam. And, you know, when you look at some of the criticisms Donald Trump has taken, which is, you know, the idea doesn't like to be told no and all this kind of stuff, for him to know all this and put a guy there, his national security advisor, which arguably this is the guy that walks in and, you know, wakes up the president and says, hey, there's nukes on the way. Recommend a strike immediately. Like, this is kind of a big deal. To put somebody that's willing to challenge in that position, I think says a lot for hopefully the realization that Donald Trump has, which is he's kind of got a mess on the NSC and needs to straighten it out, and this is the guy to do it.
You know, the other thing was you saw several people reaching across the aisle today to say, hey, good pick, good luck. Susan Rice, one of them, and she said, you know, take care of the people who work there, the career people, the lifers, because they'll be good to you if you're good to them. You know, it sort of was calling into question maybe perhaps this administration wasn't showing that that's what they were going to be doing and sort of directing, hey, will he be that kind of guy? I mean, do you think that that's important, Congressman, or do you think that that'd be a direction he'd take?
No, I think it's really important. And let's keep in mind, I'm trying to, so you sit back and you say, okay, a guy comes into office that has never been in politics, Donald Trump. And, you know, his knee-jerk reaction, which is probably many of our knee-jerk reactions, is to put the people that were loyal to you around you because, you know, he values loyalty. Maybe too much, but he does value loyalty. And so General Flynn, you know, the guy that was out there outspoken on behalf of Donald Trump, seems like to him a logical choice for a national security advisor, gets caught up in all this stuff. And I think even after just a month, and it's only been a month, so much news that's come out, but it's only been a month, I think, and I'm hoping that Donald Trump is that President Trump is saying, okay, look, I've got to get this NSC in order. There's really big issues out there. I've got to get somebody that may be able to tell me no, which is hard to hear sometimes, but is the right person to do it, the right person to take care of the people, because you want people happy that are working for you, because obviously unhappy people are unproductive and, you know, and who knows what else. So I think it's the right thing, and I mean, there's nothing but praise for this pick.
Now, this is interesting. Fox News just did this story about an hour ago about this is based on an NBC story, I suppose, that NBC talked to a former deputy foreign minister, Andrei Fedorov, from Russia, and they're apparently they're putting together a psychological profile of the president. Now, this is something obviously that that we do too. We, you know, we look at all these folks and we try to figure out what they are, especially when they go into negotiations. And it does appear that that there's going to be a meeting coming up here in the next month or two, I think we're being told, between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. And now, Mr. Trump, now this is according to the former deputy foreign minister. Mr. Trump doesn't understand fully who is Mr. Putin. He is a tough guy. Inside the Kremlin, they're doing very serious preparatory work. And they say, now this is interesting, they consider him, Donald Trump, to be a risk taker and naive in his worldview.
Yeah.
Now,
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I just think it's interesting that they're putting this out there. I mean, this guy is not, let me tell you something, I'm sure he's not going out there without the Kremlin's knowledge to be able to say this. It seems like whatever warmth there was, there's a chill in the air that is developing here. Because they go on to say that they don't think that he's going to be, they may have misjudged how friendly, he may want to be friendly to the Russians, but Congress won't let him be friendly.
Yeah. Well, that's accurate. And, well, I think this goes to show, look, every new administration, you know, it was George W. Bush when he looked into Putin's soul. It was Barack Obama with the reset. Every new administration comes in thinking they can have a new relationship with Russia, and they hit the brick wall of, you know, look, Russia is not – Westerners negotiate a lot on kind of emotions and friendships, right? You get together, you have a few drinks, you try to negotiate, you try to come to a win-win. Mm-hmm. The way the Russians think is win-lose. And so, you know, when they enter negotiations, it's more about what can Russia get out of this. And I think, look, you know, President Trump, he's a great deal maker. There's no doubt about that. Thought or thinks still maybe that he can make a grand deal with Russia. The reality is Russia is out to gain at America's cost. And so, you know, when you put together a psychological profile, I think there is a level of stuff to be learned. I don't want to call it naive, but stuff to be learned for President Trump on the world stage because he hasn't been in this position. But I think he and definitely the people around him are realizing there's nothing wrong with talking. There's nothing wrong with exploring options, but we're not going to do it at the cost of, you know, America's role in the world or at the cost of you know, America's riches or whatever else.
He also told NBC that this guy, this former Soviet state official, says that Russia itself has become a banana skin for Trump, and that's why we should avoid any kind of step that could damage him. That's weird, isn't it?
Maybe that translates from Russian a little strangely.
I guess that's right. Well, I guess that's a sort of a Russian analogy. But
we understand it.
Yeah, we get
a little weird.
I get what he's saying. I would have gone with grape. But
Bugs,
you know,
Bunny's like the only one I've ever seen actually slip on a banana peel. But anyway, that's
an excellent point. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I just think it's an interesting moment here because I think that that's one of the things as Donald Trump has his own sort of reset here. And it does appear he's doing things that are a little bit more predictable. Today, he went to the African American History Museum at the Smithsonian today, and he went to made a statement about this outcropping of anti-Semitism in America so far this year. And he, after his daughter had gone on Twitter yesterday to decry it, he finally broke his silence. I mean, he'd been asked a number of times about it. It was kind of dodging the question, including last week at the press conference. But now, you know, he's gone on to say what he's going to say. It seems like there are some people, maybe it's he, the president, or some people around him who are saying, all right, maybe last week, maybe it was the last time you can have fun doing this. Because he did appear to have fun at that press conference. I mean,
he did.
I mean, it was sort of like a virtuoso performance. Let's put it that way. So it seems like now for some reason this happens. Let's talk. Can I talk to you very quickly about North Korea? Because this does seem to be a situation that, is very sobering, and I think it's very sobering for the president. It's very sobering for a lot of people in Washington. Without obviously giving away anything that you can't tell us, this is something that is probably the biggest foreign policy issue that we have in front of us, right?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it was a defector that just came out a couple days ago and said, basically, don't underestimate Kim Jong-un. And, you know, we look at North Korea typically as this kind of clown show, right? But the reality is they have incredible military power. Now, we have some good options, but no matter what option we use could easily lead to, I mean, they have regular artillery that could basically vaporize Seoul, not to mention their nuclear weapons. So this is a lot on China, and this is a lot on America continuing to build missile defense. So if a rocket or a missile armed with a nuclear missile takes off from the launch pad, we can destroy it in the deployment stages because it's really basically impossible to do once it gets up into space. And so those are options we need to be chasing down to protect ourselves and our allies for sure.
So why aren't we taking their missile tests out?
Well, I think it's early, you know, doing something like that they would consider it an act of war.
Okay.
And
so how do we know? I don't know if you can answer this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How do we know that when they do launch something that it's not nuclear armed?
We have ways to know. Okay. And, you know, we have ways to know that. But our biggest concern right now is in the testing of these missile stages is they are close to testing basically an ICBM that can reach the West Coast and potentially, because they're changing their fuel cycle and how they fuel this, potentially central and eastern United States. So we will be basically within their entire range. Not to mention, by the way, South Korea and Japan are in their medium and even short-range missile range to do this. So building these early-stage missile defense or offensive missile destroying operation things we have is important. There's talk about, by the way, laser-armed drones that can hover overhead. That was in an open-source thing today. So putting things like that into play are going to be extremely important.
Wow.
We got cool stuff.
That does sound kind of cool.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Congressman, thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks,
it, sir.
Yeah, anytime, guys. See ya.
All right. Bye. Congressman Adam Kinzinger. All right.
Never makes us feel great about the world, but at least it's good to talk to him because he is in the know.
He does. I like a laser drone.
I know. That part sort of scared me.
Here is Violetta Pydermedic. You need to get one of those. Maybe we'll get you that for your birthday, a laser drone. Laser
what do you
arm
do
drone.
With that?
I don't think she should play around with a laser drone.
It would be very.
If that's what you got her for her birthday, then we should exchange that for something else.
It'd be like one of those Transformer movies on Michigan Avenue. There would just
watch
be
out, people.
Cars flying and buildings being destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Your turn.